continuing the music theme of sorts, Steve Mascord is very well known for his insightful and reflective writings on rugby league. He's been doing the rugby league beat for decades, but he also is passionate about his music, and recently, on a year looking at league and music across the world, had a whole new chapter of his life opened to him. It inspired the book Touchstones. Steve's been travelling Australia talking to local audiences about Touchstones in all sorts of venues as well. His stop most recently has been Canberra, and I was fortunate to catch up with Steve Mascord recently to ask him a bit about how personal this project was. We started, I guess, at the point that is most obvious, his passion for rugby league and why he's written about it for so long. I'd love to know, given all the columns you've written and the analysis you've done, how much you think about rugby league and sport in your own downtime, as well as when you're at work.
I do think about rugby league as a whole a lot. And I think one thing I sort of wrote last week was, you know, you write news about something, whatever your round is, if you're a journalist, you write news about something for 20, 25 years. And about 15 years ago, people started to kind of, at the Sydney Morning Herald, started to harass me to write more opinion. And my attitude to that was, if people already know what you think of a subject, then it's going to hurt your ability to be a news gatherer. If I ring someone up about state of origin eligibility rules, and I've already written a column about it, what they say to me is going to be influenced by what they know I think.
Right.
So as soon as you start writing opinion pieces, it actually hampers your ability to be a news gatherer, because you're not seen as impartial or objective anymore. However, it starts to feel like a duty when you're covering anything. The answer to your question is, I find myself thinking about these issues more than I ever have.
Clearly, you still have an absolute passion for the game. Is the game, through all the ups and downs, the negative press, the great stories it's had, is it always going to have a bright future in your view?
It's a broad question, and I think the game has got, I think we're on the cusp of an exciting period for international rugby league, in that, you know, last Friday's game between Australia and England was the highest rating Friday night game of the year in this country. So therefore, you have to ask yourself, if you're in charge of rugby league, if it's your job to make rugby league healthy, then we should be having more international games. I think rugby league domestically, you know, this year I've been to the Toronto Wolfpack, first home game, last home game, I'm wearing the cap, which also probably compromises me as a columnist and a news gatherer. I think the game, you know, in that aspect, you know, does seem to have a bright future, but I think domestically it has a lot of challenges. I think there's no question AFL is a dominant winter sport in Australia now, and is getting stronger. They're planning generationally. We don't really know what the N in NRL stands for. They're not anywhere near national. So yeah, rugby league will be my kind of sporting interest, regardless of how unpopular it gets in Australia. If it was to be completely swamped by Aussie rules, I still wouldn't be going to watch the Swans. So
I love the mechanic nearly that you use in Touchstones to try and tell how far and wide you've travelled, and also observed games of league. You went to and made a point to, I think it was, attend a rugby league game and a concert, a music concert, every week for a year. How did that come about?
The answer's not that interesting. No, basically, people told me for years, you should write a book, and you've probably got friends who say to you in the pub, you should write a book. And I kind of thought, well, it'd be good to have something to sell, it'd be good to, like, it'd be a new experience. So the two things I did to make sure I got it done was, I, on New Year's Day, I crowdfunded it, and that meant that people gave me money and I had to give them something in return. And then, in order to make myself finish it, I did this 52 thing, so that it had to be finished in a year, basically.
So that was your deadline,
effect. Yeah, yeah, and originally just going to chronicle this year, you know, the kind of the year of travel and stuff like that. And then I kind of came to learn a little bit about myself. I'm adopted, and I realised that the fact I'm into, the music I'm into and the sport I'm into, is actually a complete accident, that I was adopted out to a family in suburban Wollongong, and if I'd stayed with my biological mother, in all likelihood, then I wouldn't like these things, and yet these things are how I define myself. So if the ways we define ourselves are an accident, then what is identity? You know, what is identity? What's real? You know, what's real? So that kind of changed the project.
Enormously.
And it changed the project enormously. So the 52 games and 52 gigs just became a kind of breakout panel in the book. If you read the book, they kind of... a couple of pithy sentences about some band or, some misfortune that befell me on the way to a game. And then we move on with the main sort of narrative, which is more about trying to answer some of these questions. You know, I'd like to think, even though I sound quite manic now, I'd like to think I'm a more relaxed person than I was when I set off writing this book. So, you know, it's helped me anyway, even if it doesn't help anyone else, you
I'm
know.
Sure
so,
it will. It is a really interesting read. We're talking about Touchstones. It is the work of acclaimed journalist Steve Mascord. His work in rugby league for decades in Australia is well known. He's also a very keen rock and roll and heavy metal enthusiast. Steve, I really am taken by Sarah, and when you introduce Sarah as so key to your modern years, how much of this could you have done without her?
None, and she'll go have a few friends listening, because she used to actually be Richard Alston's PA, and she had a security clearance at Parliament House, she's got a lot of friends down here. Yeah, it's an absolute coincidence that Sarah's friend Valda, Sarah was saying to a friend, and I had a couple of abortive books that I'd started, and Sarah was saying to a friend Valda, "Oh, Steve's doing a book, and if it's rubbish, he can just do his next one under his birth name." And her friend Valda said, "What's his birth name?" She said, "Andrew John Langley." And this lady Valda went white, and she's like, "His mother was a ballerina, his grandfather was," and so this is the big, hugest coincidence. I've got goosebumps talking about it still, and I've told the story so many times. You know, the biggest coincidence. You know, that was, I guess, at a time when I was like lost myself in sort of myself in my obsessions and in work and all these things, and I was struggling to commit to a relationship, and you know, Sarah, through this amazing coincidence, she managed to drill into that side of myself that I was withholding.
She got on the trail, so to speak.
But it was the universe. It was like an amazing coincidence, you know. And like, you know, we got married in Tipperary a year and a half ago, and I had an ancestor buried right next to the pulpit. Turns out that not only did she know someone who knew my entire biological family, but my biological family actually came from the same part of Ireland that she's from.
Goodness.
So we were able to get married in the Protestant church because my ancestors, you know, Protestant but people I never met, people I knew nothing of only 2 years ago, suddenly determined, you know, where I got married, and it was all through these two sort of celestial coincidences, you know. So
people talk about sliding doors moments. It sounds like you meeting Sarah, then marrying her, became one of those moments.
Yeah, totally. But if it hadn't been for the conversation, you know, with Valda, maybe I'd still be, you know, I still would have that part of me would be closed off. So it's also, you know, several massive coincidences. So, it certainly played the biggest role, you know, that any factor did in me doing the book. And all the great things that happened since, all the people I've met doing things like this, you know, there's a whole other list of sort of happenstance and coincidence that's happened positively since through the book coming out and the sort of travelling around and doing promo and doing launches and stuff like that. Just been incredible experiences.
It is a really interesting read. I'm referring to Touchstones by Steve Mascord, the author, who is also a highly regarded sports journalist. His speciality, rugby league. He loves his heavy metal, amongst other things, and he was in Canberra just last night for the local launch. It's a really... it's a far broader book than rugby league and music. That's the key, as he explained there. Adam Shirley with you on ABC Radio Canberra. Hope you're having a good afternoon. Getting some nice early votes as well for Drive's Top 5. What's the top?